I love a beautiful lawn. You love a beautiful lawn. Everybody loves a beautiful lawn, but they don't love how long it takes and how difficult it can be. And that is where True Green comes into play because it's the easiest and most affordable way to get that beautiful lawn. Let's be real. You've got plenty of other things to do in your free time than focus on your lawn care. So let True Green take care of all of that hard work while you get to do everything else that you want to do, like go play golf. Here's what you need to do. Visit truegreen.com, okay? It allows you to do you. Let them do the lawn care. And if you visit truegreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people, that is all guaranteed. You can trust True Green to give you the best lawn because they are the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. They offer a satisfaction guarantee and they have a verified best price promise, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. It's truegreen.com. Get started now.
Freaking first cut. Golly.
I don't know if we're live or not. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast, Greg. I don't know.
Yeah, it looks like we, I think we are.
Okay. Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and this is your round one recap episode for the Arnold Palmer Invitational. That right there is Greg Ducharme, and we are trying to figure out some technical difficulties, but I think we're good to go. So what's up, Greg?
Yeah, hey, I see it. We're good to go right here on my end. So, I mean, I wasn't sure there. I like the delayed start, fashionably late. I was I was a second away from jumping in your play. I didn't know if we talked and you wanted me to host today. We didn't talk about it. I didn't know if it was a trick. But, hey, happy to be here. What a first round.
As Steve Sands would say, we are creatures of habit, and the intro song didn't play on my end, so I didn't know when to go. So I'm glad we are rocking and rolling right now, and API is in full swing. Greg, we've got a couple of big names at the top. We're going to jump into those, but overall, 18 holes in, this has already gotten my juices flowing.
Yeah, it's been exciting. This is the line of golf course that you see today is perfect, where you have guys that are playing really well, are really on form, are rewarded for really good play. And if you're a little bit off, it can be a train wreck. And that's the sign of a penal course that isn't unfair. Or when it crosses the line to unfair where good shots are penalized, that's when you see guys where nobody can really get under par. But here, you see guys like Rory and Corey Connors and Bryson, and the list goes on and on. Guys that played really well were able to get some pretty good scores in. And guys that are a little bit off, well, it looks like their week ended in one round.
A big day at Bay Hill and a big day at Paramount Plus. It launched today, and you've probably seen the Journey to Mount Paramount spots featuring Beefy Bryson, James Corden, Patrick Stewart, even Beavis and Butthead. It is quite a squad, but Paramount Plus is live sports. It's breaking news and a mountain of entertainment. You can go straight from game day to movie night with Paramount Plus. Stream iconic movies like The Godfather, Indiana Jones, and Mission Impossible, along with new episodes of critically acclaimed original series like Star Trek Picard, The Good Fight, and The Stand. And get this, it's where you can dive into live sports from us, CBS Sports, including the NFL, March Madness, the Masters, and Champions League Soccer. There's streaming hit shows from CBS, Nickelodeon, MTV, BET, Smithsonian Channel, and Comedy Central. It's live sports, it's breaking news, and a mountain of entertainment. Paramount Plus is streaming right now. Also going on right now is Rory McIlroy, an old friend atop the leaderboard, Greg, a spicy 6-under 66 that featured a string of 5 straight birdies from 2 through 6. He was feeling it this morning.
He was. It's clear he likes having a couple of people around watching him play. Because he looked really good. But Rick, this is exactly what we talked about on Monday. The greens are a little bit flatter, a little softer, especially for Rory's round in the morning. And the difficulty level on the greens as a rule in Florida is just a little bit lower. And when you get to, they can still be tricky. I'm not saying they're easy. They're not dead flat. They're just easier than what we saw out on the West Coast. So when you get a guy hitting the ball the way Rory did today and always does, I mean, you see the two areas of weakness for him He was great in today. He was third in putting. He gained nearly four shots putting, and he was third approaching the green, gaining over three shots approaching the green as well. So I think that recipe for Rory, who's as good a driver as he is a good one. If he can do that for the next couple of rounds, he might run away with it.
He was also fifth off the tee. If he does that for the next three rounds, VinceCarter.gif this right now, because Rory McIlroy would be on top of the world. And, you know, to get back to Bay Hill for Rory, a place that has been just a happy hunting grounds for him, Justin Ray says this is his seventh round of 66 or lower at Bay Hill just since 2015. That's when he made his debut, and nobody else has five such rounds in that span. Henrik Stenson, the next closest one. So this is a combination of playing really well, but also doing it, Greg, at a place that he loves, which something like that sparks a lot of confidence, a lot of momentum for the final 3 days, getting off to a good start like this.
Yeah, there's something like, I think it's 73%. It was at least a couple of years ago. I imagine it's around that same number now, but something like 73% of winners on the PGA Tour finish the first round inside the top 10. So when you're leading and you're on a difficult golf course, it's only going to get more difficult throughout the week. I expect those greens to get a little firmer, a little less forgiving to approach shots coming in. The guys that are getting under par early are guys that have a really good chance coming down the stretch. When birdies get harder to come by over the weekend, guys like Rory and Corey Connors and Bryson, they've gotten a lot of the work done already. So it gives them that much better of a chance going into the final 3 days.
Let me ask you a question, because I have the data to back this up, but it's not what I necessarily thought. Would you think Rory McIlroy is a slow starter? Does he have that stigma? Or is it just that he doesn't play well on Sundays?
My initial reaction is Sundays, but I would say I hate to say this, right? But it seems to be the rounds that mean the most to him. So when he gets in really big tournaments, when he gets in really, when he's really close to the lead, he has a tendency to suffer a little bit. So I think of the Open Championship that was in Northern
That's
Ireland,
what I was thinking right? of, yeah.
Yeah, and there's Jacob, flashbacks to Portrush first tee. That's the first, it's the most important tournament to him. He says it's more important than winning a green jacket, and he makes an eight on the first hole. And then the next day shoots, I think, 65. So when it means a great deal to him, he can sometimes put a little too much pressure on himself and it can get away from him. But what do the numbers say?
So I actually would like to split these out by majors, because I feel like in majors he always starts slow and then finds a way to like be inside the top 10 at the end. But last year in 2020, so it's obviously a shortened season, led the tour in first round scoring average. In 2019, he was 36th, which when you're Rory McIlroy, that's pretty disappointing, because you're going to be one of the top scorers every single year. And then 2018, the prior year, he was 24th. So I would like to see it broken up by majors and other events and see if it's just my perception or if there's anything to this.
Yeah. So what is your perception that he's a slow starter?
That he was a slow starter. Yeah. No, my perception was that, and maybe just I remember, because it's like, oh man, Rory finished T6, but he was never in it. Right. And it's because he kind of starts slow and just plays well. So maybe I'm misremembering it.
With scoring average, look, if you go out there and shoot 3 under today and you're tied 7th, and you do that every, you get yourself to tied 7th, tied 9th, consistently in the first round, after 2 rounds, you may not say you're right in it, right? Sure. Or going into Sunday, you may not feel like you're in it, but your scoring average is still pretty good, because sometimes guys go out in the first round. Somebody's going to go shoot 7-8 under most tournaments. I mean, this is a really tough one, and you see two guys at 6 under. So guys always get off to good starts. It's just, it's very rare that they consistently get off to good starts, and that's how over a year your scoring average can rise.
That other man at 6 under is Corey Connors, a similar 6 under 66. Corey Connors had it going, lapped the field in strokes gained approach on Thursday. He was a gainer with the flat stick, which is always helpful when your name is Corey Connors. He gained about a stroke and a half on the greens. And Greg, you know, just before we get into the numbers and the last time that Connors has won and all of that, he low key has a really nice like rhythm to his swing. Like I like watching him physically swing the golf club.
Yeah, it is. It's really it looks like you know, some of these guys, it looks like such an athletic move. Corey Connors looks like the old adage of let the club do the work for you, right? It looks like the club has a really nice swing to the club head. I think a lot of that has to do with his soft left arm at the top. He doesn't keep it quite as locked like Rory does. It's a little bit softer. So it is pleasant to watch. And he also just stripes it, right? As Mark would say, he's a flusher. He hits it so good. And this is kind of what we've seen with not just Corey and Rory, but the whole leaderboard. I mean, we talked about on Monday, Rick, Team No Putt having a really good chance here. And you
here
got
are.
Rory, Corey Connors, Ben On,
right Keegan, I mean, Bradley,
Lee Westwood, Victor Hovland. Maybe it's unfair to put him there. Keegan, as you said. So yeah, they're here. The guys that are driving it the best and hitting their irons the best have found their way near the top, but they also have had kind of better putting days, which you see a Rory who struggles with putting, Corey Connors who struggles with putting, have better putting days. And I think that's a function of the limited slope on the greens.
Corey Connors, most known for his 2019 victory at the Valero Texas Open. That's the event he Monday qualified. So he goes from Monday qualifying a PGA Tour event to being in the Masters the next week, which is always an awesome story, Greg, when something like that happens. But we've got another big bopper at the top of the leaderboards, Bryson DeChambeau. He's 5 under, 67. That's one shot off the pace. And this guy doesn't even go for the green on number six, Greg. You know, he gets us fired up all week long. He doesn't even take a crack at it on Thursday.
Why are we even following him? I mean, why is there a camera on him? Why are any fans following? I mean, what? Do so. Entertain us, Bryson. Entertain us.
I think he likes the illusion that he could go for it. If he actually does go for it and can't get there, it ruins the whole, you know, illusion here. But he just says, I can get there. I can get there in the right conditions.
Right, of course. which is, I think that's why there's so much. He's entertaining the talk about it, right? It's... Because I was thinking earlier in the week, and as this story was kind of developing, it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And one thing I've always admired about Bryson is he does things for a reason. Everything does is for a reason. This distance is not because he's a meathead and all he does is hit it really far, and that's why he's out here. He became this really fast, long driver of the golf ball because it's statistically backed up. So my expectation on a hole like that and on every hole is, well, what's the best way to play it? Does it make sense? Do I gain an advantage by trying to drive the green? But as I've heard this story and I've heard him talk about it and I've heard all this stuff, it seems different than that. It doesn't seem like the decision is based on whether it's worth it or not. It seems like the decision is can he prove that he can do it? And so I'm very interested to see if he goes for it another day during the week. He seemed to think that the wind condition didn't suit him for the driver that he has in play now, right? If he plays a lighter driver, a driver that spins less, he can definitely get there.
Me too. I play a different driver, I can get there as well. Yeah. You know, all jokes aside, he had one blemish on the card, his second hole of the day. He led the field in strokes gained off the tee. He gained strokes in every single category. It was pretty surgical from Bryson on Thursday to thrust himself onto this leaderboard.
Yeah, and again, we talked about it. This is the most important thing this week is driving of the golf ball, right? Mm-hmm. Strokes gained off the tee is number one, and strokes gained approach is number two. Bryson's great in both of those areas. So I'm kind of looking at this kicking myself. I feel like I overthought it, not playing Bryson especially in our little lineup we do this week. I was a little lower on Bryson because the form has been suspect, and I think his general model of hit it really far is not a great model for Florida golf, but it seems to work here. And I mean, if you just stick to that mantra of drivers and iron players, Bryson is on top of the list. So I'm kind of kicking myself, but yeah, it's in hindsight, not a surprise at all.
Certainly not. It wouldn't be the first cut if we didn't talk about Jordan Spieth, who's currently in a tie for 15th. He finishes his Thursday at 2 under par. And this was, to me, a very Spiethian round at Bay Hill, Greg, where he gained strokes on approach. He gained strokes around the greens. He's one of the best putters on the in the field, but he loses a stroke off the tee, including putting it into the water at number six. Those are the disasters you have to avoid at Bay Hill if he wants to end up being in contention on Sunday.
Right. And of course he wants to be in contention on Sunday. He wants to win on Sunday. So he's going to have to avoid those things. But he's the guy in the field that you, you look at and you say, okay, well, the numbers say no. The numbers say no, but he somehow finds a way. He's just, he's scrappy. He's got a way. Yeah, he should not have any success here. It reminds me of Bethpage Black, where, you know, it's all, it's another driver's golf course and all the biggest hitters are going to be in contention. And all of a sudden, a Jordan Spieth in bad form ends up in solo third. So he has a way of making magic with the putter. And although the kind of general model and what you're looking for around here isn't a guy who just lights it up with the flagstick and scrambles like Jordan does, he can kind of overcome that. So with Jordan, you always have to look past the numbers a little bit, especially when he's confident. And I do feel that he's confident right now. But I mean, your model, Rick, the data says he's not. This was maybe his best round of the week. But I don't know. I feel like he's kind of, he's grooving. He feels good about his game, and I think he's thinking that that he still has a good chance.
Definitely has a little bit of swag to him that we've seen in his last couple of starts, which is something we haven't seen for a long time. So awesome to see that from Spieth. So looking ahead, after 18 holes, our friends over at William Hill have installed three of the big boppers as your favorites. Of course, Rory McIlroy currently leads the golf tournament. It's 3-1. Bryson DeChambeau, just one shot back. He's 4.5-1. And then Victor Hovland, who held his round together, got into the clubhouse at 3-under. So he's 3 off the lead. He's 9-1, Greg. So we'll start there. Those three single-digit guys, any of these worth a bet, or are we going further down the board? What do you think?
I think Hovland's worth a bet. No question about it. Look at what Hovland did. So we know how good Hovland is tee to green. We know how good he is. And I mean, I really mean your stat, Rick, of strokes gained ball striking, right? Off the tee and irons. He is maybe the best on tour, and he wasn't today. I mean, he was 29th off the tee and 57th approach the green. Where he really gained the most was in his short game, which he was fifth, and he was fifth around the green. So for a guy whose weakness is holding him together, it's a sign that his game is really strong. And I expect over the next 3 days for the rest of his game to lift up. And I really don't think the around the green stuff is going to matter come the weekend time for him. But it is a good sign that his biggest weakness he's really worked on. So it's a sign towards the work ethic that he has and the desire to improve, which I love. He's rolling the ball beautifully. He's in a nice place putting. And I think there's a lot more for him to do over the weekend, tee to green. So as the conditions get tougher and tougher and tougher over the weekend, it's going to demand more and more and more off the tee and approach the green. And I think Victor Hovland is going to get better and better and better off the tee and approach the green. So yeah, he's still my guy.
I tend to agree, looking at the way he played and as you put it, his weakest part holding him together, and he's just 3 shots off the lead. That's super scary. If you want to go a little bit further down the board, Corey Connors is 12-1, Matthew Fitzpatrick at 14, and Sungjae Im at 16. Sungjae, I believe he made birdie on his final hole today. He got in at 3-under. I think he's interesting at 16 if you didn't get him before the event started. And then I still look at guys like, you know, Jason Kokrak. Jason Kokrak's 2 back. He's played well. He's hoisted a trophy at the CJ Cup a couple of I guess it was months ago at this point. I think there's some value to be had, especially on what is shaping up to be kind of a difficult golf course, because it was prime conditions today and we saw a lot of scores over par.
Right. And I mean, I guess the fear is what's Rory going to do? What's Bryson going to do? Because those are kind of you're not going to get any odds on them. And they're kind of the guys that can run away and hide, you feel like. It wouldn't surprise us to see Rory go out and shoot 6-under again tomorrow and lead by 6. I think he has that kind of firepower. So that's the concern with going down lower on the board. But at the same time, that helps the odds. And for me, I don't trust Rory on Sunday. So I think if he's leading or near the lead, I don't think he's as scary as his, you know, his resume would indicate. So I think that that's actually helpful in this case, having Rory up there. Bryson scares me a little bit, but it does lend to a lot of value. Hovland's still my favorite guy, but you could put Sungjae Im right in that category for many of the same reasons, Rick. And I know you're probably a fan and have probably already put a couple of units in that direction.
Yeah, I have. Get me whatever, some combination of a Rory, Bryson, Hovland, Spieth, Sungjae, final group or two, like whatever that combo looks like, I'm here for it, Greg.
We got to get Spieth in the mix. You have those guys, like Jordan Spieth draws more attention than anybody playing on tour right now. Tiger is the exception. We know, unfortunately, he's not playing on tour right now. So it goes to Jordan. Jordan draws the most attention. He did it at Pebble. And anytime he's in contention, the world of golf buzzes. So we need him in contention. And then all that does is draw eyes to Rory and Bryson and some of these other big guns. And then you get the opportunity to be impressed by a Victor Hovland or a Sungjae Im. So when Jordan's in the mix, it's really good for the game. And it's really good for everybody involved.
Love it. Absolutely love it. Round one in the books. Thank you to producer Jacob for all his hard work behind the scenes. Thank you to Greg Ducharme, who you can follow on Twitter at TheRealGFD. You can find me at RickRunGood. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.